If you've been here for some time, you probably know that about this time of the year, we sort of take a look at where we are, more importantly, where we've been, where we are, and where we're going. And as we've done the last couple years, it's just not going to be my voice. So many of you rejoice in that. And so this morning, I would like for Mike Deck to come up here. And Mike's going to give you a little perspective, because it's important, obviously, when we look back on what God's doing, to take clue from Him, take cue from Him on where we are and where we're going. And so Mike was going to be a maybe because of the snow. I think he just told us that because he really didn't want to get up here, but there's no snow, and Mike's here.
Boy, it is a... It's kind of interesting to think that ACC has been a church now for a quarter of a century. It just seems strange to say a quarter of a century. I guess it's over a quarter of a century now. But we've definitely had our ups and our downs, and we've lived through some pretty interesting struggles, some difficult struggles as a church. The fact that we're still here probably is, or could be considered yet another testimony that God has a plan for this body and a purpose for this body. A scripture that I like, Hebrews 10:24, and if you'd allow, I'm going to read that out of the NIV. It says, "And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." I don't know when that day is, but I think most of us can agree that we can see that day approaching. It is amazing for me, as I've spent time talking with family members and friends, believers, but maybe not inside the ACC body, but in other churches, and I hear their testimony and their stories, and it meshes with the same thing that's happening here at ACC. God is moving. There's a moving of the Holy Spirit towards evangelism and discipleship. And we can see that here in our testimony Sunday, how people share. In the things, just in the fact the way we greet each other on Sunday mornings, in the things that we hear in our email, prayer chain. We see people actively seeking a way to reach the lost and pray for those that haven't heard about Jesus. One of the things that's been encouraging to me is spending time with our small group. A small group is an intimate setting. We get a chance to hear each other and what's happening in our lives, maybe more so than in a large body like this. So we get to hear what's happening in each one of our lives, and those are important things to share because we get to see and be a part of what people are actively doing to share the gospel with others. And if the timing isn't right at that particular moment, how they're showing love and compassion so that maybe in the future there's still an opportunity for that. And we get to hear those are important stories for us to hear because it does encourage us and it does spur us on towards those love and good deeds. As individuals, we can often be discouraged. I know for myself, I can be discouraged into thinking that God can't use me because I know Mike Deck. That's me for those that don't know me. I know me. I know my shortcomings. I know my faults. I know the things that I struggle with. And in my human sense, I guess it doesn't seem appropriate that God would use that man. But one of the things that has helped me is, and of course it seems obvious, but not to look so much on your shortcomings and in your faults, but to try to specifically look for changes. What has God done in your life? What is different about you today as compared to a year ago, 2 years ago? Maybe 5 years ago. Just a simple example for myself, and this is hard for me to share sometimes, but one of the things God has done for me is he's given me a heart for the person behind the counter making my sandwich, or for the person behind the cash register as I pay my bill. He's given me a heart for that person. I don't know where it's going, but there's relationships being developed there as I'm talking with them. And the thing is that's, I know that's not my deck, because in the past, that wouldn't further my career, that wouldn't change my life. It's just somebody behind the counter. So I know that it's God, and that's, again, that's something for each of us to share those experiences that we have and the things that God is doing, changing our lives, because we get to see, and it's an amazing thing to consider, the God of this universe loves you and is transforming your life. He's working on us actively, and he's doing exactly what he promised he would do. If we consider that we're always going to struggle, we're not going to be perfect. There's always going to be room for transformation. But God isn't calling us to be perfect. He's calling us to step out, to hear his voice, step out in obedience, and let him make out of the situation what he will make out of it. And so I guess my prayer would be, and as we are seeing in this church, and we're seeing in the body and the relationships that are being developed, that we would continue to encourage one another, and that we would spur one another on towards love and good deeds, because the day is approaching.
Thanks. About 7 years ago, actually 7 years ago and a few weeks, we came and we began to explore what God may want to do here that may look differently. And vision became a word that we used, and it's a word that can be very slippery, honestly. Vision could be used like a tool for manipulation, really. It's like, my father-in-law can attest to this, I about cut his hand open yesterday. As he was holding something, I had a utility knife in my hand, which is not a good thing. My father-in-law is very gracious and kind. And so it's like having that utility knife and the hands with improper motive a lot of times. And vision then becomes slippery because it becomes a tool for manipulation. And we use vision in order to gather people behind a man. Vision is established by God. Vision is given to the body. It's not given to a soul man. Someone on the top is able to come and foresee things. That's what vision is defined as. To be able to, with wisdom and intuitively, look at the future and be able to plan accordingly. We have no ability there. We said that what we were going to do was we were going to establish values. We were going to establish those things that are non-negotiable, and we were going to set those tracks in place. And then we were going to take our cue from God to see where that would lead us. What was that going to do in the midst of us? How was God going to create for us those opportunities? We had five values, ACC values. They were, I hope they're on the screen, Tim is so good. One, disciples who make disciples. That is a highly relational, intensive relational undertaking. And we were not just going to say it. We were not going to limit discipleship from someone speaking on a Sunday morning. Discipleship is what happens outside of the hour and a half that we're here together, the 2.5 hours we're here together. Secondly, Scripture was going to be an instrument of transformation. Many places, not being critical, but many times we in our own lives have said we are founding everything on the Bible as a rule book, as a standard. God's Word is living and active. It is alive. And He uses His Word to transform the heart, like Mike said. Scripture, engaged by God's Spirit, produces transformation in our lives. We can't do it on our own. We talked about that last week or the week before. It's foolishness. To those who are not believing, it's foolishness. Thirdly, the Spirit-filled life is put in place for every believer. God's essence, His presence, resides in you who follow Jesus. Those who have given themselves to Him, who He's called out, who He has saved, He has also given His Spirit as a deposit, a guaranteeing what is to come. But it's not only those things that we can see in the future. It's for life. God's Spirit indwells us that we would live life to the fullest. God said to the abundance. He does everything to the abundance. And so your life lived with Christ, His Spirit just oozes out of you. And so when you engage the person behind the counter, you don't speak. It's God's Spirit speaking through you to the person across the counter, expressing unconditional love. Fourth, what's the fourth one? Lifestyle of worshipers. Worship is not music solely. You've heard of the war, you've probably been in the midst of the worship wars, which was the war of the music genres. Worship is giving worth to God. Everything you have, everything you are, giving it to Him, that He would be praised and worshiped and lifted high for who He is. Not for who we think He is or how we portray Him outside of God's Spirit. But we live a life worthy of Him, to give worth to Him by His Spirit. This is His intent for His church. And finally, unity. Jesus prayed for unity. Let them be one, as we are one. God was speaking as the triune God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, how each delight in one another. And they are one true God. It's a mystery. Don't ask me to explain it. But God said that we are one. Jesus said, as we are one, let the body be unified. Mike gave an inkling to that to say, you know what, God's moving not only in the Alliance or at ACC, God's moving His Spirit all over the world, calling people to Himself because the time's drawing short. And He's not slow, as some understand slowness. He's patient. He is loving. He's accepting that those who will be called would come into the kingdom. Then when the last person hears, when the last person gives themselves over, boom, He's coming back. This is what happens in the midst of a body. We desired God's heart. We established value. Now, He produces the results. He creates the opportunities. He produces the results. We believe that there are three principles. I know I'm throwing principles and values and vision. Hopefully it's not confusing. But what God's going to do in the world, because we believe what we believe, because these values have been established in Scripture, what God's going to do in the world, He's going to do through all of His people, right? He's going to do it through all of His people. Not the exceptional, not the one that can stand and talk, not the one that can stand and sing, not the one that can do this or can do that or has a great effect in teaching. God's going to do it through every believer. And because that's a fact, and because we hold the essence of God somehow, God indwells us by His Spirit, then we are going to carry the temple of God to the restaurant, to the neighborhood, to the place of business, to the relationships that we already have. We don't need to start looking for a place of impact. God has directed it, and God has created. We carry His Spirit, so it's going to be a decentralized movement. Therefore, what happens doesn't all solely happen on a Sunday morning. It's not the right speaking, the right music, and then the right effect, or the right closing that has the effect. It's God's Spirit, and guess what? You don't hang up your giftings and everything else at the door while you leave. God's Spirit resides with you, so it has a decentralized, if that makes sense, a very good way, a scattered presence in the world today. That's God's intent. That's the second one. The third one is, if God's using all of us, and we are decentralized, as we are moving in life, God is powerfully working, then it is the responsibility of leadership not to demonstrate primarily their giftings and meet some kind of job description. Ephesians 4 says leadership's there to equip the body in this movement outside of the church walls. And so we have determined that this is God's heart for us. We believe it's God's heart for the church, but especially for ACC. We believe that you have the effect, because you have God's presence and His Spirit in life, in you, powerfully moving and acting and speaking and reacting in the world, that He would have effect. And it's our responsibility not only to equip and come alongside of you, but be equipped by you. Not one greater than the other. So how will we know how will we know we're in the middle of God's will? How will we know that we are following His Spirit? We call these qualitative values. Okay, this is like if it's not about how many people we can accumulate on a Sunday morning, if it's not about how much money we can gather, it's not about some of those normal measurables, what will it look like? Well, we believe that every follower of Jesus that's being equipped in order to be decentralized will be practicing their priesthood. They will have an intimate, living fellowship with God's Spirit daily, moment by moment. How does this work? Our relationship with Christ, He indwells us. We believe that there's an intimate relationship that is continually being developed by God's Spirit, not by our merit or our pursuit, but by God's Spirit as He draws us to Himself, changes us. Then guess what? We start to look and act and think differently. Secondly, there's grace testimony being spoken and lived out in front of the world. God said it in Ephesians. You know what? The church is going to be my testimony of grace to the seen and unseen world. So if this body is operating in fellowship with God's Spirit, and the church is being equipped, and people are decentralized and moving around the world, around our communities, around our neighborhoods, then we have a testimony. We have something to share, because we spend time with Christ. We have something to share with people. We have life to share with people. Grace testimony is not something as solely or primarily your conversion story, but it's your life with God. What does it look like? What has He talked to you about today? What has He confronted in you today? What has He changed in you today? Thirdly, God has given us spiritual gifts. Did I put that third? Yes. Wow. That's impressive. God has given us spiritual gifts, not to be limited here. You hear what I said? Not to be limited here, but to be powerfully operated in the world. So if you have a teaching gift, we love it. Teach. Come here and teach. But there are a lot of school-age kids that have no education. They're being lost in the system. What would it look like if God's church engaged the school system and began to tutor? Began to have some kind of place where kids could come and learn. Thirdly, there's an element of God's Spirit. He is so loving, He's so good and generous, that those fruits of love that come from God's Spirit just almost involuntarily come out of us. As Mike said, that's not me. I'm so consumed with myself. We all are. But yet when God's Spirit operates in us, you do things you don't sometimes aren't aware of. It's almost like Jesus when He healed the bleeding woman. And He said, "Who touched me?" Right? The Spirit, He felt the power leave Him to heal the woman. If you're operating in relationships and God's Spirit's calling the shots and He's directing and He's walking us into the works He's already prepared in advance for us to do, then we're going to do things sometimes unconsciously, more so by God's Spirit. And God will have the effect. Finally, there's a place of stewardship. And it's not about make sure you give this part of your money in order that God can bless you. It's all God's. You and I were dead. 2 Corinthians 5 says that those who are in Christ now are new creations, new creatures. That means it has been created. Just the simple definition of the word means it was nothing and now it's something. We're new creatures. And we carry a message, right? But everything we have, everything we are His. You were bought with a price. You're no longer your own. That means your money, your time, your energy, your focus, where you put effort, that is all inclusive. You want to say 10%? Go ahead and say 10%. I think God wants everything. Some things He says, I want you to keep this. I want you to enjoy this because I'm a loving Father. Some things He says, I want you to share that thing. I want you to be open-armed, open-handed. Sometimes He says, let go. I have a purpose for that, whatever that is. These are things that are like the bee. This is what happens when Christ consumes you. It's not about how many people we can gather here. It's if our people, us included, are operating in this paradigm. And finally, there is an activity. Now, activity does not define health. The B defines the health. But activity is a part of the expression of the health of the body. Are we taking ownership of the places that God has created for us? Places meaning relationships. Are we taking ownership? Are we being intentional? Ben and Annie are going to come and they're going to share how we see things moving now. We know where God has taken us. We haven't gotten there. God has taken us there. We see where we are now. We see how God's operating in the relationships and health by His Spirit. We see what God's doing in a transformational process that is happening individually and corporately. But where is this going to find expression? Where is this taking us? Where is this leading us? It's not our vision. It's God's vision, and He's given us indication by His Spirit. So you guys, when you want to come and share with us?
I just want to open with a little part of 2 Corinthians 5 that it captures this beautifully. And what we're sharing about my circle, it just ties beautifully with our values because the churches that are working with this have the same values, that we are all going at the same mission, and that's the mission of God. In 2 Corinthians 5, it says in verse 14, "For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. But He died for all, and those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for Him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one of a worldly point of view." Just that thought of He died for us, He died for all of His people, and that He lives in us, and so that life within us that He gives us compels us that we would share that ministry of reconciling lost people to Him, that's our mission. That's the mission of God, that He desires and He loves us so much that He wants to use us, the church. And so you've heard it before with Brian, with others. If God is going to do anything, He's going to do it through the church. And that's not the church building. That's not even necessarily the people within the church. It's going to be God working through our hearts, through that Spirit-filled life working into the world and where that intersects with the world. And that's his mission, that he wants to reconcile lost people to himself, and he wants us to share in that ministry. And that brings us to where we are now. We were wrestling about how do we help people to make it not intimidating, this idea of circle of influence, that we're supposed to share our faith. Well, maybe you might not have that gift of evangelism. Maybe you don't want to stand on that soapbox and loudspeaker and preach to the people. Well, that's the amazing thing, is God's not necessarily calling you that. He doesn't want you to do that, but he has placed you strategically, whether it's in your school, with your circle of friends, whether it's with your work, or did you know that God created you to be a part of your family for a reason? It might be your family that he has called you to, that he wants them to be found as well. So what we've learned, we've bumped into and crossed paths with a man named Jim Murphy, and he's part of the renovation group of churches that Bob Petty is connected with, and Brian meets with them. That's part of kind of the Ethiopian push, and all of that kind of all gets mixed together, that that they are all on the same mission of how can we get God's people mobilized to do the work that he's called us to. And so we bumped into this Jim Murphy on Skype first, and then we met him in person. And it's a beautiful tool that he put in our toolbox. That it's not a program, it's not these steps and your community will be saved. It's what's God doing in your heart? How can he change your heart and have that lived out in those circles? And I better not jump ahead of myself here. So Annie will tie that up a little bit, but yeah, it's just a tool. It's not, I better hand it off to you and then you can do it. It's just a way to make it not scary, that, you know, if you think of, okay, God has put us in this area to reach the lost people. Fort Wayne has 250,000 people. That's daunting. How do I do that? Or how do I go to my neighbor and I just have to lay it out, and I just have to tell him, and I have to tell him that God wants him saved, and that's it? No, there's ways that we can tie that in, that it's not daunting, it's not intimidating. It should be natural, but sometimes we don't think of that, how natural it can be. So he breaks it down into a couple steps, and Annie's just going to share about that and about how we've seen that lived out even in our small group with my circle.
So Ben mentioned some pieces of the puzzle that Jim Murphy and his team have identified, and it's four really easy things to remember: identify, pray, engage, and share. And so our group has put those things into place, and identify is simply recognizing the lost people that we encounter in our everyday lives. How often do we go through our day, going through our routine, and we don't notice what's going on around us? There are family members, there are neighbors and coworkers who don't know Jesus, and we have influence over those people. So the first step is just identifying who those people are and becoming aware of where we are influential. The second thing is to pray, not just praying for health and well-being and all the lovey-dovey things that you could pray, but we pray very specifically the gospel over these people. We're praying evangelistically for them and taking time to pray for one person in our circle every day and seeing God change their hearts and change our hearts for them as we pray for them. The third thing is to engage, that our lives intersect with these people and we are intentional about putting ourselves in their path. Whether it's taking a friend out for coffee, whether it's inviting a neighbor in, or shoveling their sidewalk and building a relationship with them on purpose for a specific reason, so that we have the opportunity to share, to give them repeated time to hear and respond to the good news of Jesus. So our group has put those four things into place, and over the last 6 months, I think the first thing, the main thing, is that we've seen our hearts change. We are crazy about lost people because God is crazy about them. And that's been huge to see our group of eight people come and share how their hearts are moved. And that out of that heart change, that then they're acting and they're seeing God work. That people are starting Bible studies for coworkers, that they're buying Bibles for their friends. They're inviting people to church. They're having coffee with their coworkers and bringing Christmas cookies to our neighbors. Even things as small as that, that God is changing our hearts, and he's using us and showing that he loves these people, and that we have the great gift of being invited into that. And so we found that my circle and the four steps have been very life-changing for us and effective, and we are excited to see where our group continues to go and where God uses us, and to see where he puts ACC and where he puts you guys and how he can use our whole body to reach people for him.
Yep, so it's identify those lost, pray for them evangelistically, and engage just relationally, and then you get the chance to share. Not your come to Jesus moment, which it could be, but what is God doing in your life right now that you can share with those people, and that leads to the good news. So tying that in, that's not just for an individual. It's not for a small group, but it works great as an individual and small group. What does that My Circle look like for our church as a whole? That God placed us here on Lehmeyer Road on purpose. What does that look like that we identify? It might have been a year ago, but we had up on the screen, Lance put together, here are the houses around the church. Let's pray for them. Identifying those people who are lost, that even God has put this church here for a reason, that we might reach the subdivisions, we might reach Springfield Villas across the road, that he placed us here as a church on purpose and on mission. So looking and identifying and praying and engaging even those around us as a community. But where does it look like for you? Well, these four little things, I would say integrate them into your family. Integrate them into how you look at your life and the people around you. It's been amazing. We try to be a good neighbor to our neighbors and our friends. You know, you try to be that good person. But yeah, taking it a step further has been really a blessing of, yeah, I want to be a good worker for my boss, but when she shares something with me, can I pray for her? Can I try to shine that light in her? Because that's why I'm there, that I'm not there just to get a paycheck, but that God wants Benchmark Human Services to know the love and the salvation of God that he offers them. But I would encourage you, if you haven't experienced that small group, just like Mike mentioned, it's a good chance of having more deeper relationship with people. That in your bulletin, you can see a couple open groups that you can join, and you can see what this My Circle looks like in a group setting. But just bring those people around you, and they'll encourage you, and you can encourage them. You can learn different ways. Just bouncing ideas off, even when we've talked with Jim Murphy, just he is walking this out, and just the ideas that pop up in his mind, and that happens in the small groups too. But what would that look like if each one of us took that on, that God is calling us to reconcile people, that he desires us to have his heart for the lost? It just changes your mind. But what would that look like in your family? What would that look like with your kids? What would that look like on a Sunday morning? It's just been great for the Sharing Sundays to see those stories of sharing your faith and having some come to Jesus. But what would it look like if somebody lost was found, and they're sitting in that seat and sharing their testimony of what God's done for them. That's the things that I would love to see, and I know that's on God's heart. So that basically is it, that my circle, it's just four things. Identify, pray, engage, and share. And you can get into more depth of that in small groups, talking to me, talking to Brian, talking to one of the elders, one of the small group leaders, one of our group members. Just look into what that means, and I'm looking forward to what that would mean as a church body too here at ACC. So I think that's it, and Brian can wrap us up.
You ever, thought came to my mind, have you ever tried to express to a child something they know, you know, they would enjoy, but they just don't want to listen? I know everybody else's kids are listening to what their father says, but you know how you try to express something for your kids that they would enjoy or that would be beneficial or effective, or and they just won't hear it. They just don't hear it. And then maybe somebody else tells them, or they sometime, you know, on the back door will do something, and oh wow. Hey Dad, I did this and this is what happened. Isn't that amazing? Well, yes, it is amazing. Imagine that. I think this is with God so many times with us. He says, this is going to change your life. I want you to explore this with me. And then we're just like, well, that's just too intimidating. I don't think I can do that. I don't think that's, you know, I don't have time for that, or whatever, you know, we come up with this as an excuse. And then we sort of fall into it. Saying that, God usually is so gentle with us, and he'll lead us maybe around, and we experience something like that, and then we're overjoyed. Then God does something in our hearts, and it is fulfilling, and there's contentment, and there's passion, because we're actually carrying his heart. That's what God does. This expression of God reconciling the world to himself was a gift given to his body that they would experience things they wouldn't have experienced any other way. Right? I'm sorry. It's not an evangelistic part of our body that, oh, well, we give money and we come show up on Sunday morning and we do this and we do this. Oh, and I'm supposed to tell people how I met Jesus. It's your life. I'm sorry. It's your life being expressed, that people would come to understand Jesus, that they would express, that he would express his love to them. What that looks like, honestly, for the most part, the leadership is not fully understanding. But that's okay, because we serve the head of his church. We submit to the one who creates the opportunities. We submit to the one who saved us. We submit to the one who creates things that we would walk into it. And so, I don't have pictures. We don't have much. We do have God's word. And this is what he says to do, and so we're going to do it. And I believe, we believe, that the church is going to be scattered, and it's going to be healthy. Ephesians 4 says, the apostolic, the prophetic, the evangelist, the shepherd, the teacher, those functions bring maturity to the believer, that the winds and the waves will not knock them around. And so there will be a healthy expression, I believe. We believe out of this place. Let's pray. Jesus, you are the one. You are the way, the truth, the life. You are God incarnate. You've expressed things when you became one of us that we would have had no clue was in the heart of God. You gave us a visible evidence of the power of God You gave us visible evidence of the love of God. And God, you're calling us to give visible evidence for the existence of a loving Father. I am so grateful that we do not have to perform in this. But God, it's your Spirit who creates. It's your Spirit who draws man to yourself. It's your Spirit who indwells us, and it's your Spirit who's going to speak through us. It's your Spirit who's going to live through us. Somehow, we are a part of it. It's all to your praise and glory, Jesus. You're no longer dead. You are alive. And you're bringing the nations to yourself. And when all have heard, you're going to come back again. And we wait in longing anticipation. I pray that you would find those kids of yours who are attentive, who are listening, who are watching by your Spirit, with spiritual eyes, hearing with spiritual ears what the Son is saying to his church. We love you. There's no one like you. Where else will we go to hear words of truth and freedom? Pray these things in your name, Jesus. Amen.